Sutter Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warden. We currently meet at the Yuba County Library, located at 303 2nd Street in downtown Marysville, California, on the corner of 2nd and C Street. Weekly services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. at the library. For more information, visit our website at ysgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Rick Warden.
The title of our message today is Tell Jesus. Herod beheaded John the Baptist in prison. John's disciples came and took up his body and buried him. Then they went and told Jesus. Matthew 14, verse 12 says, "And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus." I would like to make two points from this scripture. First, who Jesus is. Jesus Christ is our great God and our Savior. The gospel is about His glorious person and successful work to save His people from their sins. The second point is to tell Him. We are to go to Him at all times, in every trouble, and pour out our hearts to Him, believing His word, trusting in His salvation. First, what is in a name? A name in Scripture identifies who a person is. For example, Abraham means father of many nations. As his name is, so is he. He is the father of all believers throughout the many nations of the world, both Jews and Gentiles. All who believe Christ are called Abraham's children, Galatians 3:29. Because the promises God gave to him, he gave to Christ and God's elect with him. They are called the children of Abraham. Nabal's name in 1 Samuel 25:25 told who he was. Abigail said of her husband Nabal, "Let not my lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." A name, therefore, gathers together all that is to be understood of a person. Jesus is such a name. In Old Testament Scripture, God names Himself. There are 9 variations of the name Jehovah by which God reveals Himself in the Old Testament. Every one of these variants of Jehovah in Scripture corresponds to the truth God has revealed of His Son in the Gospel. Each name reveals our divine Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, God uses the name Jehovah in a context and in combination with another word to expand His revelation of Himself. In each of these names, we see who God is by what He has done to save His people. Let's briefly look at 8 of these names. The first one occurs in Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis 22, when Isaac asked his father Abraham why there was no lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham said, "The Lord will see." The word translated "will see" is Jehovah Jireh. This name is explained in verse 8. "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." This is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. God the Father gave His Son. He delivered Him up to judgment for His elect, Romans 8:32. The Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for His people, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me, Galatians 2:20. Christ offered Himself to God, Hebrews 7:27. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. The gospel is that God gave His Son for His people, and Christ offered Himself to God. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of God's elect throughout the world. He is therefore Jehovah Jireh. God will see to it. He will provide Himself, and provide Himself as the Lamb of God. The second name of our Lord found in Scripture is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. It occurs in Exodus 17:15. Moses upheld the rod of God. That rod represented the power of God unto salvation, that is, the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, Romans 1:16. In Numbers 21:8, the brass serpent is lifted up on a pole. The word for pole is nisi, or banner. All who looked at the uplifted serpent on the pole lived. Jesus said this was about himself. He is the one God lifted up on the cross, bearing the curse of God's law against his people. All who look to him live. Paul said that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our banner is what we glory in. As long as the gospel is held up to the eyes of the believer, he triumphs over his flesh, just as Israel triumphed over Amalek in Exodus 17. But when we cannot see Christ as our strength and deliverer in the gospel, we have no power over the flesh. Christ is therefore the Lord, our banner, our boast, as our curse-bearing substitute, by whom the curse for our sins is taken away, and by whom we overcome our flesh in this body of death. The third name by which God reveals himself is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Jesus Christ is the great physician. The whole, Jesus said, do not need a physician, only the sick do. He came to save sinners, sin-plagued, dying sinners. It is by his stripes that we are healed. God's judgment is against his people because of their sin. Christ bore their sins in his own body. God punished him in their place. He bore the beating my sins deserved. It is by his stripes that we are healed. God turns away from us the judgment our sins deserved because he judged us for our sins in Christ. We are therefore healed. Jesus Christ is the Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. The fourth name in Scripture is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace. In Judges 6:24, Gideon saw the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought he would die for seeing his face, but the Lord said to Gideon, "Peace be unto thee." When he knew that God accepted him, Gideon built an altar. He called the name of that altar Jehovah Shalom. Christ is our altar. He offered himself to God in his human nature on the altar of his divine nature. Ephesians 2:14 says, "Christ is our peace." Colossians 1:20 says that he made peace by the blood of his cross. Thus, Christ is our peace because he reconciled us to God in his own death. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "God hath made him sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Thus, Christ has made peace in himself, in his offering of himself to God for his people. His offering made satisfaction to God's justice. Therefore, he reconciled his people to God by his sin-atoning death, which satisfied God in justice and removed their sins in full remission and forgiveness. The fifth name in Scripture is Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord my shepherd. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Jesus applied this to himself in John 10, verses 11, 14, and 16. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." In John 10:11, Jesus said that he is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. The sheep are God's elect, the church. We see this in verses 14 and 16. In verse 14, Jesus said that he knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Christ first knows his own, he chooses them, then his sheep come to know him when the gospel is preached, and they believe it. Clearly, this is true only of the church. Then in verse 16, Jesus says that there is one fold and one shepherd. He is the Lord my shepherd. There is only one shepherd. Christ is the one shepherd of Psalm 23 and John 10. And there is only one fold, the body of Christ. In this body, both Jews and Gentiles make up one fold. Christ is the one shepherd of all believers, Jews and Gentiles, throughout time. The sixth name in Scripture is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, Jeremiah 23:6. Jesus stood in the place of his people before God. In Matthew 20:28, he said of himself, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto," he did not come to be served, "but to minister," that is, to serve, "and to give his life a ransom for many." The word "for" in that verse means "in the place of." Christ gave himself in the place of his people. God received his sufferings under the wrath of God with the sins of his people in their place. And in Romans 5:19, we are told that, "As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Christ obeyed God for his people in their place as their covenant head. Just as Adam, by his sin in the Garden of Eden, brought all of his children under the guilt and condemnation of sin, so Christ brought righteousness and justification on all of his people by his obedience to God in their salvation. The Lord Jesus fulfilled God's law in both punishment against sin and in obedience to God's honor. His life of obedience and suffering fulfilled the righteousness of God's law, but he did not act for himself in this. He stood for the many. As he fulfilled their obedience for them, he delivered them from the darkness and prison of unbelief. All who believe him are the righteousness of God in him. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Christ's obedience unto death is the righteousness of his people before God. He is Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And the seventh name we see in Scripture is Jehovah Kadosh. In Exodus 31:13, God told Moses that he is Jehovah your sanctifier. As our high priest in his prayer in John 17, Jesus said that he sanctified himself, that his people would be sanctified. Jesus Christ sanctified his people by offering himself to God in their place and on their behalf, according to the will of God. Christ could sanctify his people because he is our high priest, sharing our nature, appointed to represent his people before God as our mediator, who made atonement for our sins. When he sanctified himself to God, he sanctified all of his people with him. He sanctified himself in his obedience unto death. It was obedience to the will of God. By it, he made all for whom he died holy before God. By offering himself to wash them of their sins, he set them apart for God's glory in their salvation. Hebrews 10:10 says, "By the which will we are sanctified, by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once." The next name we see in Scripture is Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth means Jehovah of hosts, the Lord of elect angels and elect men, heaven's armies, heaven's hosts. Hannah's husband in Scripture, Elkanah, went to worship Jehovah of hosts in 1 Samuel 1:3. Now, in the New Testament, it is made abundantly clear that Jesus Christ is the sovereign creator and upholder of all things. All things were made by him and for him. He ruled heaven and had glory with his Father before coming into the world. John 17:5 and John 6:62. And having finished the work of our salvation by his obedience in his humiliations and sufferings and death, he is now exalted again to his Father's throne. As Elkanah came to worship Jehovah of hosts in 1 Samuel 1:3, so God's people worship Christ. Peter said in his sermon to Cornelius and to his household, "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And this is just a condensed summary of the entire gospel. Christ made peace. He is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He is the Lord of hosts. Now, do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is all of these to you? He is the Lamb of God who offered himself to God with the sins of his people. Do you believe him? Do you trust that in Christ's offering alone, God received full payment for all of the wrong your sins did to his justice, and that he suffered for the punishment your sins deserved? Are you bowed in worship, persuaded that God commands you to look to him alone as everything in salvation and as sovereign Lord of all? Do you look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as everything in your salvation, knowing that God received all from him that he requires of you, and that if God requires anything more than what he received from Christ, you cannot give one thing and are without hope, deserving the wrath of God? Is Christ all of your glory and boast? When you see that he is all of your salvation, do you praise and thank the Lord Jesus Christ, that one so high and holy and almighty would be so gracious as to be made sin and a curse for you? Is Christ crucified your only boast before God? Is seeing him as all of your salvation and your only strength in battle, your only peace and joy before God? Do you see that by the beating Christ took under the wrath of God, he has made peace for you to God and has removed the plague from God against you because of your sin? Do you see that his stripes are your healing and your peace? Is Christ the Lord all of your peace? When troubles and doubts arise that would shake your confidence and instill fear, do you flee for refuge to him who made peace by his blood? Do you know that if Christ is your shepherd, you have all things and have no lack before God? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your shepherd? Do you see that your only righteousness before God is the obedience of Christ to his Father in his life and his obedience under suffering even unto death? Do you see that he stood in the place of his people and that all that he did was for their benefit and blessing? Is the Lord your only righteousness before God and men? Psalm 71:16 says, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Do you see that all that makes you holy to God is the offering of Christ? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your sanctifier? And do you see that the Lord Jesus Christ is the absolute sovereign ruler of heaven and earth, that he is gracious to whom he will be gracious and saves by his own work alone, with no consideration of anything in me or any contribution from me? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of hosts? Now, all these names of Jehovah are comprehended and summarized in one name. That name is Jesus. As explained in 1 Samuel 25:25, a name in Scripture identifies who a person is. Just so, as his name is, so is he. Jesus is his name, for he accomplished full and complete salvation for his people. He saved his people from their sins. God himself defines this name for us. Matthew 1:21 says, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus is at once the name of highest honor and the name of greatest endearment to every believer. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. If you know Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the gospel, as the one who made satisfaction to God for the sins of his people, who removed their sins from them by full remission of their debt and with full forgiveness from God, based on what God finds in his Son alone, and if you believe that you can only be saved if you are saved by his righteousness only, with no help from yourself or any other, then you will put your trust in him. In the new covenant, God promised that all of his people would know the Lord. How do they all know the Lord? They know him in the Lord Jesus Christ. they all hear His voice. His voice is the truth of the gospel revealed by God as true to me. If you are Christ's sheep, you will hear and believe the gospel. If I know the Lord Jesus Christ according to the truth of the gospel, then I know Him as the one who saved me from my sins. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, "They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Do you see that this is the issue? What does God think of His Son? What did God receive from His Son? Is God satisfied with His Son? Do you think what God thinks about Christ? Do we think the same thing as He does? If we do, then we believe the record God gave of His Son, 1 John 5:10. If not, then we have not yet believed the truth. The gospel is that God has made known His glory in the salvation of His people by the obedience unto death of His Son. It is how God rescued His people from their fall in willful rebellion, that He saved them in spite of their unbelief and lawlessness and helplessness in these, and that He laid all of the work and cost for their salvation on Himself in Christ. It is that He received from Christ full compensation and honor to His righteous law. The gospel is that sinners who are only deserving of God's wrath are saved by Christ alone. The gospel is about the grace of God, who does all to have His people and never looks for one thing from them, but gives all to them because He willed to do so in grace, and because on the ground of Christ's obedience, it magnifies His justice and His mercy and all of His perfections to the highest possible extent. In Christ crucified, we see the glory of God. Now, Matthew 4, verse 12 says that John the Baptist's disciples went and told Jesus. They went to Him who is Lord of all, who purged all of the sins of all of God's elect, and who did so by Himself, Hebrews 1:3. They went to Jesus, the one who alone saves His people from their sins. And what did they do? They told Him all that had happened. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to Him. Believing Christ is coming to Christ, John 6:35. These disciples of Jesus came to Jesus. They had heard John tell them who Jesus is and what He came to do. Now they went to Him and told Him all. About Jesus, John the Baptist said, "He is the Son of God. He is from heaven. He is above all. God the Father has put all things into His hand." John also said, "He is Christ, the Bridegroom. He has the bride, the church, the people of God. He is creator and husband of God's people. He is the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of God's elect throughout the whole world, both Jews and Gentiles. He must increase." Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11 says, "The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day." And John himself said, "I must decrease." John was the greatest prophet, yet it must be Christ who increases, while he must decrease. John was imprisoned. Now he is martyred for Christ's sake. He decreased in life and finally in death. But this was John's teaching and his delight. Christ must increase in the eyes of his people. John's mission was therefore perfected when his disciples came to Jesus. They did what he taught them. They learned of Christ, and now they follow him. John died. He decreased. Christ, the Lamb of God, accomplished salvation for his people. He increased. He's the King of glory. What a joy John had for his disciples in this. How they must have loved John for sending them to Christ in his last act of martyrdom. What do we tell Jesus? There is no better advice that a preacher can give than what these disciples did. Go to Jesus. Tell Him. Tell Him all that you are not. Ask Him to show you all that He is. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." What do we tell him? We tell him of all our anxious concerns. Philippians 4:6 through 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And we tell him all of our fears, our sorrows, and our needs. Psalm 55, verses 16 through 17 says, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." We tell him about all of our enemies and our weakness against them. We tell him that we don't know what to do. We look to him and tell him that our eyes are upon him, waiting for his salvation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, Jehoshaphat prayed to God against the enemies of Judah and Jerusalem. He said, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And we tell him of his glorious triumphs that he has given and promised in the gospel. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the prophet told Jehoshaphat in verse 17, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." And we tell the Lord that our sins prevail against us. Psalm 65 verse 3 says, "Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away." We tell the Lord Jesus Christ that there is no God like him who has cast our sins into the depths of the sea of his judgment. Micah chapter 17 verses 18 through 19 say, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." We hear him tell how he accomplished our warfare over sin. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 2 says, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." We thank him that he has delivered us from the dominion of our own unbelief. In Romans 6:17 it says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Obedience from the heart is faith. The form of doctrine is the gospel, and we believe it. And we tell the Lord Jesus that our sinful flesh, what we are in ourselves, is nothing but sin, but that we look to him as everything in our salvation. In Romans 7, verse 24 through 25, Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And we tell him that we have destroyed ourselves by our sin, but that our only help is in him. Hosea 13:9 says, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help." And we tell him what he has told us to do and say in coming to him. Hosea 14, verse 1 and 2, "O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously." In all of these verses, we tell the Lord Jesus Christ what he has told us in the gospel. In short, we tell Christ all. We cast every burden upon Him, and in so doing, we are saved. Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." May God bring us to come to Jesus Christ as He is revealed in the gospel, and in coming, tell Him all that we are not, and tell Him all that He says He is to us, and in so telling, trust Him and find salvation and perfect peace in Him.
You have just heard a sermon by our pastor, Rick Warda. You may contact us by email or by phone, or download a copy of this sermon by visiting our website at ysgracechurch.com.